Driver, we're clear.
Hello, friends, and welcome to this week's episode of The Florida Project, the podcast where Disney fans celebrate Walt Disney World. If you like Disney and you like podcasts, you will probably like The Florida Project. I'm Jason. Across from me is Will.
Hello, Jason.
And next to both of us is the fantastic Michael.
Hello, hello.
If you want to support the show, get access to some awesome bonus content, and hang out with us on our Patreon-exclusive Slack channel, become one of our Patreon saints at patreon.com/TFP podcast. All of our Patreon saints get access to two additional shows, TFP Extra,
Extra.
And Disney Classics. Each week on TFP Extra,
Extra,
we keep the podcast train rolling with more zany fun, the airing of grievances, and a topic that may or may not be Disney-related. On the monthly Disney Classics series, we watch and discuss each of Disney's animated classic films. Our next one will be Robin Hood, and we're going to have a watch-along at some point this week. Tune in to Twitter for important updates.
And if you're on the Slack channel, obviously we'll announce it there as
right,
well.
Right, right. Additional levels and rewards are all on the Patreon site, so sign up at patreon.com/TFP podcast today and get more of The Florida Project. Not to get anybody too excited about possibly joining Patreon, but we did just create a brand new hot dog channel. So look, be on the lookout for that.
Oh, it's called Hot Dog Dash Channel.
Yeah.
And it's a channel.
Yeah.
Got it. Why did you name it Hot Dog Channel?
You'll find out.
Okay.
I think you'll be pleasantly surprised. In this episode, we'll discuss some nonsense.
Let me be frank. I'm not too excited about it.
How about your buns?
In this episode, we'll discuss some nonsense and small topics. Michael will give us the latest news. Will will take us on a trip down Main Suite USA. And then we'll play a new Disney discussion game, Mickey's Magical Wheel of Disney Topics. I feel like I said will, like will as in will, not wheel. So
it had an accent for sure. Yeah,
just to clarify, Mickey's Magical Wheel.
Wheel.
Wheel of Disney Topics. All that and more is coming up on this week's episode of The Florida Project.
It's a small
topic.
After all.
Topic.
After all, it's a small
topic.
After all, it's a small
topics. This show is basically a small topics episode, so we're not doing small topics today. Everybody good?
Now, I would like you to curate three small topics right now. But you can, I guess.
All right, one's we'll got to go. Tom Hanks, Tom Glavine, or...
You can't think of a third Tom.
Elvis.
Well, Elvis is gone. Tom Glavine can go.
Who's Tom Glavine?
He's a 1995 World Series MVP.
Isn't he your favorite baseball player?
No.
Who's your favorite baseball
player? I'm not going to say now.
It was Tom Glavine.
It never was.
It was some pitcher.
Was it James?
Was it a pitcher?
James. And that's it for small topics.
James Pitcherton. Anyway, that's it for small topics.
Thanks, Jason.
Don't lie to him.
Those are some interesting small topics.
It wasn't even small topics. It was a small topic.
We had a nice little chat.
It was a nice chat. Thanks for listening, everybody.
News. So here are three news items to discuss this week about Walt Disney World. Number one, Disney releases more details for the 2022 Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party. Halloween arrives at the Magic Kingdom this week, and the schedule for the 2022 Mickey's Not-So-Scary Halloween Party season at Magic Kingdom is now available. We've previously talked about the party dates and pricing, but now we have some more details on the actual party. The park closes to regular guests on party nights at 6 p.m., with the event officially beginning at 7 p.m. Your ticket allows you access to the Magic Kingdom from 4 p.m., and if you arrive after 4 p.m., you will receive a party wristband at the main entrance.
Ooh.
For guests already in the park, wristband distribution can be found in Adventureland and Tomorrowland, and the entertainment is as follows. Returning is the Hocus Pocus villain Spelltacular on the castle stage. There'll be multiple shows per night, In August and September, there'll be three, one at 8:35 p.m., 10:45 p.m., and at midnight. And during the month of October, there'll be four, one at 7:40 p.m., 8:35 p.m., 10:45 p.m., and 12 a.m. So that's a lot of shows.
That is a lot of shows.
Disney's Not-So-Spooky Spectacular Fireworks Show will be at 10:15. Mickey's Boo to You Halloween Parade stepping off in Frontierland at 9:15 p.m. and 11:15 p.m. So you have two chances to catch the parade. And the Cadaver Dance Barbershop Quartet at 7 p.m., 7:45 p.m., 8:30 p.m., 9:50 p.m., and 10:30 p.m. So you have a lot of
opportunities. So you won't be able to miss the Cadaver Dance, basically.
Yeah. You have a lot of opportunities to get all these things while you're at your party. So that's good.
Yeah. I recommend the second Boo to You Parade.
I recommend the fourth Cadaver Dance performance.
In addition to the entertainment, Disney has also released details for Disney's Not-So-Spooky Spectacular Dessert Parties, which will occur on party nights.
Mm.
Reservations are now open by the time you hear this, and the two parties are as follows. You have Mickey's Not-So-Spooky Spectacular Dessert Party, which includes a dessert buffet of sweets and sips at Tomorrowland Terrace Restaurant and views of Mickey's Not-So-Spooky Spectacular Fireworks. This party with seated viewing will cost $115, including tax and gratuity for guests ages 10 and older, and $69 for guests ages 3 to 9.
Dang!
The second party is Mickey's Not-So-Spooky Spectacular Dessert Party with Plaza Garden Viewing. Also includes a buffet of sweets and sips at Tomorrowland Terrace Restaurant with views of Mickey's Not-So-Spooky Spectacular Fireworks from a reserved standing area in the Plaza Gardens on Main Street, USA. As the fireworks showtime nears, cast members will escort you to standing locations in the Plaza Garden. This party with standing viewing will cost $99, including tax gratuity for guests ages 10 and older, and $59 for guests ages 3 to 9.
No.
Yeah, that's really expensive.
Like,
plus the hard ticket.
Go make your money, but good Lord. Yeah. Like, you're going to miss, like, you're buying a Halloween party ticket to just sit there for an hour and eat, like, dessert.
Yeah, because you have to get there early, too.
And
yeah.
If you buy the second one, you still got to stand for fireworks. And at the party, there were always room to... It's not like a regular night. There was room both the times I went to get a good spot for the fireworks.
But the dessert party's good. It's not $110 plus... What's the party? Like $100-something?
At least $100-something, yeah. Anyway, that's a hard pass from me, dog.
Yep.
Yeah, same here.
I like those little tarts, though, that they have.
And the more people
you can just get all the candy you want.
Yeah. There's going to be a candy shortage this year.
There is not. That's what they say. I don't believe this.
Hershey's saying they're not going to be able to make the demand.
But will our cell phones still work?
I don't know.
I don't get it.
If you have a T-Mobile cell phone, it probably will.
Well, speaking of cells.
Oh, that's why. Got it.
Number two, animated evenings at Walt Disney World are coming. You know, like an animation style.
Yeah, I get it. Yeah.
More than a dozen Disney Springs restaurants have teamed up with Cirque du Soleil to offer animated evenings, a special prefix menu available only to Cirque du Soleil Drawn to Life ticket holders.
Ooh.
As part of your animated evening, you can choose from 10 Disney Springs restaurants with a prefix menu priced at $45 per person, tax and gratuity not included. This includes the City Works Eatery and Poorhouse, Enzo's Hideaway, House of Blues Restaurant and Bar, Jaleo by Jose Andre, Maria and Enzo's Restaurante, Paradiso 37, Taste of the Americas, Planet Hollywood, Raglan Road Irish Pub and Restaurant, Splitsville Luxury Lanes, and Terralina Crafted Italian. There's also three more locations offering a prefix menu at $65 per person, which is the Edison, Paddlefish, and Wolfgang Puck Bar and Grill. To book your animated evening, first purchase your tickets for Drawn to Life, presented by Cirque du Soleil and Disney. And you can purchase tickets from Cirque du Soleil online or call their phone number. And next, book your dining reservations for animated evening by calling 407-587-5981. Though I'm sure you can just book like a normal reservation, because once you get there, be sure to ask for the animated evening menu when you arrive at the restaurant.
Mm.
All dining reservations must be scheduled at least 2.5 hours before or 2 hours after the ticketed showtime. The menus are available online if you want to see what's on the prefix menu versus the regular menu.
Very excited about this, and we should go see Drawn to Life when we go in the fall this year.
Did you know that family travel has the incredible power to shape our children's worldview and create lasting memories? In a world where representation is often lacking, it's essential for our children to see themselves reflected in every aspect of life, including the stories we tell about travel. Introducing the Travel of Legacy podcast, where we're rewriting the script by celebrating the diverse voices of Black and Brown family travelers. Each episode of Travel of Legacy is a testament to the enriching power and the joy of exploration in Black and Brown communities. So journey with us and subscribe now.
We should. And for those of you that may have forgotten, Drawn to Life invites you into an astounding world where the art of Walt Disney animation is experienced like never before. Gather your whole family for an unforgettable leap into this amazing new show, a live acrobatic journey where the stage is transformed into a giant animation table. The art of classic Disney animation is reinterpreted through Cirque du Soleil's innovative design, acrobatic performances, dazzling choreography, and eclectic costuming alongside all new Disney animation and an original score inspired by timeless Disney music. The show is absolutely alive with all the high-flying, mind-blowing exuberance that Cirque du Soleil is famous for. That's their copy.
You didn't come up with that?
No. Oh. I haven't seen it. So
you'd be a liar.
I would be.
I bet it is mind-blowingly exuberant.
I don't.
If you want to see a different show... Number three, Beauty and the Beast live on stage, full show returns to Disney's Hollywood Studios.
That is not mind-blowing exuberance. It's fine.
And hot.
And so hot. They got those fans.
So hot right now.
So it appears the town mob has failed in killing the Beast as the Beauty and the Beast live on stage returned to its pre-pandemic version of the show. Since making its return from the pandemic in August of 2021, the show has been presented in a modified format with fewer cast and physical distancing. And last weekend saw the reintroduction of the entire cast, restoring the show to the original version. Showtimes are currently 11 a.m., 1 p.m., 2 p.m., 4 p.m., and 5 p.m. daily. I recommend the 11 a.m. It's slightly cooler.
Yeah, I like that.
These are the worst tips and tricks. Jason's was actually probably helpful, but since then, terrible.
And speaking of terrible, that is it for news.
That was some good news, Michael, not terrible.
Tweet.
All right. This week on Main Tweet USA is actually something that we had ready for last week's show. So hopefully it's still a rumor that hasn't been debunked yet. So is it time for The Simpsons to end at Universal Studios parks?
No.
We'll see. So this was all a rumor I read on The Street last week, which I had never heard
what
of.
What is this? The Street.
It's just another like entertainment news
on
site.
On the streets of Orlando?
Yeah, sure.
Is it near Sesame?
No. Oh. It's in Orlando. Kissimmee. Lake Buena Vista.
The you sure it wasn't The Streak?
No.
Is it titillating?
I'm not. Anyway, so as we know, Universal holds the rights to many of Disney's Marvel characters in Florida, and that deal predates Walt Disney Company buying the comic book company. It was made at a time when Spider-Man, the Avengers, Fantastic Four, X-Men, and the Avengers, they said the Avengers twice, were comic book characters, not giant movie stars. Universal has perpetual rights to these popular characters who have become more valuable since Disney took ownership of Marvel and created the wildly successful Marvel Cinematic Universe. Disney gets paid for its intellectual property, but the theme park company would likely prefer to have the right to bring those characters to Disney World. That deal is not likely to change anytime soon because the rights never expire as long as Comcast uses the characters and makes the payments required by the contract. The original Universal Studios theme park in Florida and its counterpart in California both have a land based on Springfield, home to television's longest-running comedy, The Simpsons. That deal was made before Disney acquired the popular show with their acquisition of Fox, and unlike the Marvel deal, it appears to have an expiration date. Quote, we know that an agreement between Fox and Universal to use The Simpsons has an end date. What we don't know is the length of those terms, InsideUniversal.net reported. Rumors indicate the duration is a 20-year licensing agreement, putting the end year at 2028. However, unlike the Marvel contract, there is no in-perpetuity clause or region-based restrictions. The 20-year deal matches other news reports about when the rights expire, but neither Disney nor Universal has commented on the arrangement. And while 2028 is more than 5 years away, there are some anecdotal signs that Universal may be prepared to move on from The Simpsons. Some of the screens at the signature Simpsons ride have needed updating for years. Your ride experience varies depending on which ride vehicle you get. In addition, the underlying technology will be nearly 40 years old in 2028, and the show's popularity has faded at least somewhat. It's hard to picture Bart, Homer, Marge, Maggie, Lisa, and their supporting characters at Disney World next to the company's classic characters, but the long-running show makes sense at Disney's Hollywood Studios in Florida and Disney's California Adventure in California. The Simpsons may not be quite as popular as it once was. The characters are very important to parents who are now in their 30s and 40s. Disney has always been built around nostalgia. Mickey, Donald, and friends are not nearly as relevant to kids today as, say, the cast of Frozen is, but they remain a huge part of Disney's theme parks. The Simpsons may make more sense at Disney's theme parks in a few years than they do at Universal's, though the two companies could still extend the deal. If Disney doesn't want to invest in a Simpsons attraction, it can make a short-term agreement with Universal to keep the current land and rides in place. Those decisions likely won't get made for a few years after Universal Studios has opened its upcoming Epic Universe Third Gate in Florida.
This is another reason that we need to go to Universal if they're going to, they're not going to get rid of,
well, at least not for a few years. But they could at any moment. You know, that's something I appreciate about Universal. One day they're like, nah, we're ripping all
that
out.
We're tearing
it down. Yeah. No, we're tearing it down and shut up.
I'm a huge Simpsons fan, but I find it very weird that Disney owns The Simpsons. So there's no place in Disney World or land that I think The Simpsons would fit into.
You could edge it into Hollywood Studios somewhere if they wanted to.
I think a perfect spot for it would be
Springfield, Illinois.
Yeah, what's that?
Springfield, Arkansas.
What's that Star Wars thing at Hollywood Studios? That
Galaxy's Edge?
No, the one that's not being used anymore.
The Star Tours?
The Launch Bay?
Yeah, get rid of the Launch Bay and put a little Springfield over there because it's kind of like the kids area.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
The Simpsons ride is good. Last time I rode it.
Yeah, rebuild almost. The Simpsons ride in Hollywood Studios. Doesn't need to be as tall.
That would be something all new. They wouldn't build that over it because it was like they said, it's almost 40 years old, that building.
But it is
weird that you have to walk up so far in that.
Yeah.
Tall.
Well, so many screens.
Yeah.
It's IMAX.
Yeah, you walk up that high in Flight of Passage, but you don't really know it the whole time.
Yeah.
IMAX, give me the IMIN.
It's called TV.
Oh, okay. Well, I like TV.
It's not TV, it's HBO. Wait, different company. That's it for Main Tweet USA.
Thanks, Will. That was a great trip down Springfield's Main Tweet USA.
Today's topic is Mickey's Magical Wheel of Disney Topics. So the Florida Project now has a spinning wheel, not like the Cinderella spinning wheel, but a wheel that spins like the Wheel of Fortune wheel. So what we've done is we've taken each section of the wheel. There are 12 sections and assigned each one of them a topic. The topics are as follows: hot takes, parks, Marvel, Star Wars, wild card, in which the person to your left will ask you a non-Disney related question, Disney Pixar, music, resorts, Potopi, lose a turn, and predictions. Okay?
And Potopi is potpourri?
Yes.
Okay.
Misc, but Disney related misc.
Same thing for music. It's Disney related music, yeah. Right?
And actually, wild card is not the person to your left. Wild card is you pick a topic, but it cannot be Disney related in any way, shape, or form.
Got it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, non-Disney potpourri.
Yeah.
Potpourri.
Yeah, we have Disney potpourri and non-Disney potpourri.
Whatever you want, but it better not be related to Disney.
Yep. All right. Who wants to go first?
I'll go.
Okay.
Clockwise? Is that how we're going to go around? Got it.
All right. Ready?
Spin the wheel.
Wow.
It didn't go all the way around. Will's bad at spinning.
How dare you?
Here we go. Let's try it again, Will.
Is this more like the Price is Right wheel or the Wheel of Fortune wheel?
This is probably more like Price is Right since it's vertical.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Big but money. It's flat, which makes it more Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah. All right. Big money, big money, big money. Stop.
Parks.
Parks. Oh.
Bing, bing, bing.
Boring. That's what we do every week. I wasn't. That's the one I was not prepared for in my head. That's funny. All right. So as I was saying earlier today on the Slack channel, I do plan on making a trip to Disney in the fall. I haven't pinpointed a date yet, but I always look forward to the Food and Wine Festival. But I'm trying to decide if my parents would enjoy going to the Drawn to Life, because they'll be with me on this one.
Have they seen a Cirque du Soleil show before? Yeah, I think that would be fun.
Yeah, that would be fun, and it would be a good probably introduction. I'm guessing it's not a full like 2 hour show.
I also broke the rule. This isn't in a park, but it's Springs. It counts.
Yeah, it's fine. And it's a good way to tell. I mean, like Cirque, but for a few shows, any Cirque show you could go to, and you could be like, "Yep, this is for me," or "Nope, this is not for me." Right? Like, yeah. I don't think there's varying degrees of Cirque shows, except for like some of like the Weird Sex one and the Beatles one.
This one at least has the familiarity with, you know, the Disney music and the Disney animation. So
are they going to pick the guy with the harness out of the crowd? What? Wasn't that a Simpsons joke?
So I was watching, I subscribed to a Cirque backstage Cirque thing. And I guess in one of the shows, there are two audience members that literally get lifted up out of their seat and then fly down onto the stage. And it was absolutely the, why do they always pick the guy in the harness? It was awesome.
Yeah. Oh, I will think about it.
Yeah, you should.
I'm not sure about the pre-fee menu thing.
Yeah, I probably won't do that.
That I could just eat wherever I want, whatever.
If I'm going to force Michael to go to Cirque.
I'm not forcing me to go. I want to see it.
I'm not forcing, but if I'm going
to. Not forcing me to do nothing. I'll do whatever I want whenever
I'm gonna,
I want.
If I'm going to pay the ticket price that I'm going to want to pay the ticket price for, then we'll go to Blaze that night for Michael.
Blaze. Michael, you ready?
Yeah. Spin it.
You said to yourself, because you're totally spinning it, not me.
Because it's not right next to Jason's microphone.
Oh, lose a turn. Lose a turn.
Boom. No. Don't fiddle with that wheel. He lost a turn. I saw it.
But I don't like it when he loses things.
Oh, that's all right.
All right, ready?
He rarely loses.
For me. One, two. Haha, I tricked you. You thought I was going to go to three, but I didn't. Disney and Pixar. All right. So Disney has announced a bunch of live action remakes of some of the classic animated classics.
Yes.
What sort of newer one would you like to see a remake of? And it would be, it could be a shot for shot remake.
Say no more, man. Home on the Range.
Woof. That's a tough one.
That is not my actual answer.
They already did Robin Hood with Kevin Costner, so I don't
agree with anything. I think we joked about this a few weeks ago. I've gone on record that the live action Lion King is soulless and just not fun for me again. But I think they should do like a Jungle Book thing for Robin Hood.
I did too.
and do the same thing. Use the same
with the photorealistic animals.
I think that with talking animals. That'd be hilarious.
Use the same animation. Like,
but then have them sing and stuff.
What about clothes? Are they wearing clothes?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. For Robin Hood, yeah absolutely.
Or at least that hat.
But you said a more modern one. I think I'll keep
that. That's fine. You can.
No, I want to say Moana for realsies.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be beautiful, I bet.
Because
they
probably toned down the story a little bit with like, you know, Maui and stuff, make it a little bit more real. But I think there's a lot there that you could do in real life.
Yeah. And they could get, what's her name?
Alii Carvalho.
To be Moana, I think she could still play that.
Oh, yeah.
And they could probably get The Rock to be...
You know Dwayne would be all over that.
Oh, yeah. He loves a Disney movie.
Yeah.
He's like a contract player in the 40s.
He loves making a movie that'll make $1 billion. Yes. That's what he loves.
And a movie where he doesn't have to stretch very far dramatically.
But he won't have a shirt on the whole time. He loves that.
Yeah.
And he turns into an eagle.
We'll see. Again, this may be like a Mulan-type situation where they tone down something.
No,
stuff.
Tone it up.
No, I think you tone it down.
If you have a demigod, he has to be able to do stuff.
Yeah. You want magic.
giant hook or whatever.
Yeah. I just want music. That's all I'm saying. These live action needs to go into a musical point, like version.
Like Aladdin?
Yeah, that was good. I loved Aladdin.
Beauty and the Beast, Lion King, they've all been musicals except for like two.
I'm going to die on this hill that Aladdin has been the best live action so far.
And Beauty and the Beast has been the worst.
No.
Because I wouldn't call any of that music.
But which one was the worst? What we have decided this earlier. I forgot.
For me, if you're counting the Maleficent movies.
No,
it has to be like the quote shot for shot.
Oh, then I would go sadly with Mulan. Not that I think it's bad, but it's of the ones that have come out, that's my least favorite.
Oh, well, then I might go with Beauty and the Beast.
As your favorite?
No, as least.
Oh, yeah, it's the worst.
It's not terrible, but
it's terrible.
Because I liked Mulan. I was more interested in that than the animated one.
I watched it again, and I was disappointed.
I'm not going to watch it again because I don't want to be disappointed.
You should watch Lady and the Tramp, the live action.
Oh, I still haven't done that.
It is really good, if you like dogs.
I love dogs.
Oh, yeah, then you like it.
If you get hungry for dinner at 8?
Is this a Lady and the Tramp thing?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember.
He gets hungry for dinner.
Oh, that's why the lady is a tramp.
Yep.
Got it.
All right. Will votes for Mulan. Michael votes for?
What are we voting for?
Moana. Yeah, Moana. That's what I said.
I would probably go with Frozen at this point.
Yeah?
Of the modern ones.
That would be some good magic in that.
Yeah, and it's just so beautiful, like the snow and everything, and obviously the music too. And that one, I don't feel like they really need to change much, except maybe delve more into like the characters that didn't have like a big part in the movie, or at least the first movie.
Yeah, let's give Kristoff some songs.
Yeah.
What about Sven?
Yeah, duet.
Sure.
Power ballad duet.
But I'm all for the Robin Hood one. I was proposing the Lion King one as soon as the Jungle Book came out, and I was very happy with the result. So, yeah.
Yeah.
And I think Robin Hood would be awesome because it would also be hilarious because it's so different from the Jungle Book and the Lion King, which are more serious movies. And Robin Hood is, I mean, it's pretty much a comedy.
Yeah.
But a live action Sir Hiss, I mean, come on.
Say no more. I'm in.
Mine would be Raya and the Last Dragon.
Oh, yeah.
I love a good magic. I think those characters would be cool, come to life. Lots of dragons in that.
Yeah.
I think the world would be very cool.
Didn't they just make that with Shang-Chi?
No.
There were dragons. Not all throughout.
There were dragons in Game of Thrones.
There were.
That's not the same.
It's close. And swords and dragons. Tell me how it's different.
All right. Will is on record. Ryan the Last Dragon is a shot-for-shot remake of Game of Thrones.
Yep. And Shang-Chi. Done. I've made worse hot takes before.
You should have saved that for the hot take if it landed on there.
Jason, cheat on the next one.
Yeah, Raya. I think that would be cool.
Yeah.
The universe would be cool.
Sure.
I like that bad guy.
I don't remember him.
Friend. The girl.
I don't remember a lot of Raya. Raya and Mulan were both pandemic movies, and I've forgotten them a little bit.
The friend had a severe haircut, and I loved it.
Oh, there was that little kid. I remember that kid was funny.
Yeah, the shrimp boat.
That was good. Yeah. I should watch Raya again.
That's good.
Do I need to watch Mulan again? No, I'm not going to because I don't want to dislike it. Okay.
The movie?
Yeah.
Michael recently watched that, right?
Yeah, and he's like, he says it's garbage now.
No, I said I was disappointed.
Oh, it's garbage.
All right, Will, you're up.
Ready, go. Hit it.
Star Wars.
That worked out.
Yeah, it did. Well, I had a hot take in my head, and I don't know if it's that hot, but I'm going to use it for this.
It's going to be about the Return of the Jedi font.
Jason bought a new Star Wars Lego set for BD-1 for Jedi Fallen Order.
Did you not
buy
that, too? I thought you did.
No.
Okay.
No.
Doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't. But I noticed before we were recording, it has the same font as Return of the Jedi. Isn't that nice? this is not my hot take. I mean, excuse me, my Star Wars
what
take.
What font?
The font for Jedi Fallen Order on the lower left-hand side of the box. Okay. It's the same font as Return of the Jedi old logo.
Gotcha.
Like the rectangle logo. Anywho, so my Star Wars point is, and I talked about this before we're going to dinner. I've started watching. So we all recently finished Obi-Wan Kenobi, the great Disney Plus series, And for some reason, right after that, I wanted to watch episode one. So I did. And now recently, I'm about halfway through it. But this week, I started watching episode four, A New Hope. But the despecialized editions, which I am recommending to anybody you can find on the internet. But I'm really enjoying it because it seems like almost kind of a different movie, but really, really good quality too. And seeing the original stuff in that good quality has been a good like jumping off point from Obi-Wan Kenobi and the Pixar, not the Lucasfilm, nope, the ILM. That's that's the documentary I just finished watching. And I'm really enjoying watching it and like seeing how like it's all like analog and it's not, I don't know, I'm appreciating it. The non-special edition. I'm really not a special edition hater whatsoever, but it was so cool to be watching.
But it's fun to see like in-camera effects and all that kind of stuff. Like,
it was also cool to be watching the cantina scene and it not cut to, oh, there's that weird Jabba the Hutt scene where Han steps on his like tail. Like, oh, this is weird. And like just random
and the dance number.
Oh, no dance number in this one.
Yeah.
They do that in Return of the Jedi, which is, again, my least favorite part of that remake. But it's been really fun. So I recommend it. You just Google despecialized edition and they tweak this all the time. It's in 5.1 now. It was in stereo before, but they got a new track for it, I guess. Found it somewhere.
Is that an HD?
Oh, yeah.
Widescreen?
Yeah.
1080 or 720?
It's 1080. It may even be in 4K now.
Whoa, 4K.
Like upscaled 4K. But it looks really good, at least on my TV. I'd be curious to see what it looks like on your good TV here. But I've been really enjoying it. It's been a really good jumping off from the ILM documentary, which have had a lot of Star Wars in it.
Have they made despecialized editions for all six movies?
They've done.
The first three had like some changes too, so I didn't know if.
Maybe. But you know, the tweaks they made to 1, 2, and 3, or besides Yoda in episode one,
yeah, that's true.
They've been minimal.
Yeah. It's probably just like cleanup.
Bring back the Yoda cut.
No, that the Yoda in episode one now looks way better than that weird looking puppet they remade, you know, for episode one that didn't look like Yoda at all, except that vaguely looks like Yoda. And Frank Oz even admitted, he's like, I kind of forgot how to do the voice. Like he had to get back into it. So he sounded weird and looked kind of weird. So it was perfect for episode one.
It was like somebody described what Yoda looks like to whoever was making the puppet.
Yeah. Because he looks weird.
He's like small and green, has pointy ears and a beard, I think.
But after they did episode two, they went back and put him in the digital version, and it looks really good.
A Larry David haircut?
A little bit, yeah.
All right, Michael, you're up.
Spin it.
Disney and Pixar.
All right. So this is kind of going to be a more recent Pixar topic.
Okay.
It's about the film Lightyear that just came out on Disney Plus.
Oh, yeah. We didn't talk about that on this show. So read into that how you will.
I still haven't seen it. Read that.
I enjoyed it. Read that. But anyway.
I guess Jason didn't like it so much.
He thought it was fine. So what I want to actually talk about is... a Reddit post that I read about the movie that someone that really hated the movie, and he hated it because of the first 3 seconds of the film, and he never recovered, and it was the funniest thing.
What happened in the first 3 seconds?
Yeah.
So this is a slight spoiler for the first 3 seconds.
It literally can't be if it's 3 seconds.
So after the Disney logo and the Pixar logo, some text comes up on the screen and says, in 1995, Andy's Toys came to life or whatever. It says something related to Toy Story. And it says, it said like, in 1995, Andy bought a toy based on his favorite movie. This is that movie.
Oh. So,
something like that. And then it starts the movie.
Yep.
So this guy's point was that if this was that movie, since that text came after the Pixar and Disney logo... it doesn't make sense because that means that text was in the movie that Andy saw back in 1995. Oh, so it was just like, I hope it's not serious, but he kept going on and he seemed really serious. And I was like,
that can't be real. I believe that people are crazy.
Yeah. I thought it was crazy. I hope it's not real because.
The take that the Weekly Planet sort of went down this path, and I agree. And it was, why would that be Andy's favorite movie? It's about a man, an aging man dealing with what it's like to age and have people around him like and be alone and be lonely, and he needs to
but it's not just about that.
But that's, you know, basically it's a very heavy movie.
Cocoon was my favorite movie.
It's a very heavy movie for them to make toys at. Or like Cocoon, they make toys of cocooned. The old people. Oh, and you can put them in a cocoon. Yeah.
Have you ever seen Stripes?
Long time ago.
So there's just one line I remember from that movie that I think of every time I read something like that Reddit post or some ridiculous like tweet, some like hot take about the parks are terrible. Lighten up, Francis.
Yeah.
Just, you know what? Get another hobby. Do something else. If something like that can bother you that much, you need to take a step away.
Yeah. If you don't like the movie for other reasons, that's fine. But if that's your...
If that's it.
Yeah. If the first 3 seconds ruin the movie for you, then, you know, I don't think you were going to enjoy the movie to begin with.
The context of the movie, right. what are you watching?
Right. If that would just eat at you the whole time.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Silencio, man. Bruno. All right. My turn?
Yep.
Resorts. All right. So I think everybody's favorite resort here is probably the Poly.
All Star Sports.
So the Poly is being demolished.
What?
No. Yep,
it is.
Why? Cost cutting.
No, I think Universal has the rights to Polynesian stuff. And
WB's in charge.
Yeah, WB's in charge. They're shutting it down.
Not going to be the Moana Resort?
Yeah. What would you put in its place?
The Moana Resort.
The Moana Resort.
It cannot be Polynesian themed.
It's not. It's technically Polynesians.
Yeah.
Mm.
She lives in Polynesia.
Mm. That's a good question.
I'm looking at a cool pirate ship right now.
Yeah.
And I would turn this, like, it's the Lego shipwreck pirate ship thing where there's a lot of, like, it's a pirate ship that shipwrecked and then they built a little town around it or whatever.
Yeah.
I'd do that.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Would be awesome.
Could be Tortuga from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yes. Yeah. A Tortuga-based resort.
Mm-hmm.
So you still get your beach flavor, but it's the Caribbean, not Polynesia.
And it could be shaped like a turtle. Because Tortuga means turtle.
Oh.
I can't get on board with that.
That's what I mean.
But I can get on board with a show.
It's funny you told a dad joke in the middle.
Wasn't a joke.
I can get on board with a nightly sword fight from the fort walls.
Mm-hmm.
And such.
Can I have like that show at Treasure Island we saw where it was just the scantily clad pirate ladies doing the siren song?
So you probably you may remember this or not. So we were at visiting Michael's family, and somehow this came up, and it reminded me of a story from that night when we went and saw the Sirens of TI, mm-hmm. And it was. It was very windy that night, and they made an announcement over the PA that said, due to the weather, we're going to do an abbreviated version of Sirens of TI. And there was an older couple next to us, and the lady said to the man, take a picture of the wind, honey. And he took his camera and pointed it up to the sky and took a picture.
I have vague recollections of that.
I remember that. There are two things I remember from that trip. Vividly, it's that, and then I poured a bucket of ice water in the bed and called housekeeping, and they brought up sheets, and she was like, do you want me to make your bed for you? And I was like, no, I can do it. And then she gave me the sheets, and it wasn't a fitted sheet. The bottom sheet wasn't a fitted sheet, and I was like, ooh, I don't know how to do that. I don't know how to make the bed. And I meant without a fitted sheet, but the lady looked at me with such disappointment.
She should. I don't know. My mom always does that.
I was like, no, I know how to make a bed. I've just never done it without.
I certainly don't remember that, or I'd still remember.
You weren't there. I went back to the room sick that night. It was when everybody was out doing
Vegas things.
Yeah, like Halloween. So,
Good. So pirate ship. Yeah, I'm good with that.
Anybody else?
No, I'm good with that. I think it's great. There's a lot of opportunity there.
Yeah, I like that. I was going to say the Amalfi Coast in Italy, but because it's on the water, but I think a pirate ship will fit better with the Magic Kingdom.
Hmm. What's the Amalfi Coast like?
I don't know. It's one of those like resort coasts that you see in movies. I think maybe Tenet was the Amalfi Coast. I don't know.
David Tennant lives there?
No, something we saw recently had the Amalfi Doctor? Coast. I don't know.
All right. Will, you're up.
I'm ready. Let's do it. Music. Okay. Here's something I've wanted for years, and you can only find pirated copies of everything. They used to sell...
Yo-ho.
Very nice. No. Not a lot of people listen to music on physical media anymore, but they used to sell, like, and updated every few years parks music in the parks, and they would do like a Wishes soundtrack, a Fantasmic soundtrack. They've kind of stopped doing that. Every once in a while, you'll just accidentally find something on Spotify or Apple Music. But why do you think they stopped doing that?
Well, we got Harmonious.
But it was like it just showed up one day, and they barely even talked about it.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's a market there for, like, you know, if they sold even if it was physical media, I still might buy it, like a CD set or something, like park ambiance music, the Epcot old music,
yeah,
or like, you know, a classic CD of Epcot music or Magic Kingdom extinct stuff. I think there's a market there that they could really sell some music.
Yeah, it is surprising. I mean, and like you said, the stuff they have been releasing, they don't make a big deal about it, so people don't know about it, but they also release stuff that's like, it's cool to have as a Disney fan, but you're like, this is what they decided to release.
Who is this for?
Like, music is always so weird with releases like that. Like, I don't understand why.
Yeah. Like, they released an album for Rivers of Light and Tree of Life Awakenings, which I really wanted the Tree of Life Awakenings music. But it's like, they released that, but not, you know, one of the more famous.
Did they do Happily Ever After?
Yeah,
they did. Yeah.
They did at least the song.
Yeah, I don't know if they did the whole show or not.
So I remember vividly, the Fantasmic CD was great because it had the show with the audio, and obviously it had audio, but like the sound effects and like the
dialogue.
And then it had just the music cues, like 1 through 20, and then like 20 through 40, it was just music.
And didn't it also have the Disneyland version
too
on the same album?
Yeah.
So that was cool.
So I don't understand why, like, there's a market there. Michael would buy a lot of stuff. So would I. Like, of old Disney parks music. And there were people out there who listen to these Disney radio stations. I used to do this pretty frequently at work, like Sorcerer Radio and those old streaming stations and stuff, where they'd have like an Epcot resort loop or like Epcot, like welcome, like not the entrance plaza loop. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, you have to like pirate this stuff. And I think that's a shame.
Yeah. I think it's tough because like there was a Broadway show from the late 90s, early 2000s that's not streaming anywhere. And so I had to like find the CDs on eBay to get it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have these CDs that got to the house. And then I was like, oh, well, now what?
Yeah.
So I think it's probably like a different world because, like, if Disney sold that stuff in the stores, people would buy it, right? They would buy the physical media. But since people can't really play physical media that much anymore, then their only option is to stream it. And I think it's such a small population of people that are going to stream it. Like, people will buy stuff in a store when you're at Disney World because you got that Disney magic in you. But there are very few people who would go back and
well, how about this?
Stream it. And then they only get like 2 cents for a stream for like 1,000
streams.
So you
sell a book with it and you get, quote, free downloads.
Yeah.
You know? Like an old Epcot picture book, and you get all of the old attractions.
Yeah, that'll have like lyrics or have like, this is what you're listening to. Like,
I mean, you can print this book for 4 cents.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Now for a lot of stuff, you can find it on YouTube and get it from there. But, you know, so it's out there to find if you're searching for it. But yeah, I don't know.
I don't want to have to pirate it.
I don't know why they don't make
like an official curated
money off
version.
Of it. Yeah. They'll make money off of everything else.
Yeah.
Why not their music? So I don't know if there's like rights issues or something. Because I used to do it, so I don't know.
Well, isn't Epcot just like a potpourri of like
it's an experimental prototype city of tomorrow.
Things like the Rocketeer and
That's in the land pavilion. Oh. But there's like the Future World music that used to play. I think it was like its own thing, and then it was part of the Future World attractions.
Yeah,
music,
then it had a medley, and it had like Honey, I Shrunk the Audience theme in there, and like
it had like Epcot music.
Oh, okay,
and not just Epcot. I mean, Magic Kingdom, there are extinct attractions there you can put in. You know, so anyway,
all right, Michael. Predictions.
All right. I'm going to predict, make some D23 predictions.
Ooh, okay.
And that's in September, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. These predictions are for the 2022 D23 Expo. So I'm going to predict they're going to announce something about the Dinoland USA area.
Oh, because that's a good one.
That Primeval World thing is gone. Like, it's just...
and they've salted the earth.
It's just a patch of nothing surrounded by a fence. So they tore it down. They have this empty space. Seems like prime real estate to do something with. And the rest of that area has needed like an upgrade for a while.
Yeah. Do you think they'll keep it dinosaur themed?
That I don't know.
Like, you have Countdown to Extinction there, or dinosaur there.
Yeah.
But that could easily be rethemed into something else.
I think the dinosaur theme works. Take a different approach than kind of the fun and whimsical dinosaur thing they have there now. Or they may IP it to something. I don't know.
They could turn it into like a Beastly Kingdom type of thing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of a shame that none of their dinosaur movies were very exciting or popular.
Yeah.
But, you know, they got dragons. And
they could also pick more countries. Like, they have
Hercules things.
Or more continents. Like, they have Asia and Africa.
Yeah.
Oh, they should do Antarctica, because it's always so hot over there. They could just have one big ice cube.
Like penguin encounter, like at SeaWorld.
I think it's time to just, again, salt the whole air. I love dinosaur, but let's just tear it all down and try something completely new.
Well, I wouldn't be sad.
I feel like with dinosaur, you could repurpose the entire attraction. Like,
you could, but let's tear it all down. Let's just cordon it off, that whole area, and start over. You know,
I feel like Animal Kingdom also has gotten like even more half day-y. Like, it feels like there's nothing there anymore.
Well, I think it's, you know, like,
it's just because of the pandemic, I think.
Yeah.
I think it's back to where it was, where it's a full day park without like a nighttime spectacular. Yeah.
Your problem with these big lands like your Pandora's and your Galaxy's Edges are, there's a lot that goes into them, a lot of money that goes into them, but only really one or two like attractions. And, you know, Animal Kingdom, Hollywood Studios could use a lot more stuff. Epcot.
Yeah.
So, all right. My turn. Marvel.
Hooray.
All right, Marvel. So we'll probably do a looking ahead at Marvel after D23, because I think there's going to be a lot more announcements then. But Michael and I were talking about this the other day, and I think it is a great time to be a Marvel fan. Even if you feel like you got a lot, or you got too much, or you're overwhelmed, or you can't keep up with everything. I think it's a great time. Like, we're getting very high quality shows, great movies, characters that you would never have thought would have ever been on screen.
Not only that, they've most of them have broken through pop culture. Like, so, I mean, not only is it a big deal that these characters that were only existed in a comic book are now have this big budget movie, and people like it, but people know who these characters are that have never read a comic book.
Yep.
And we're at the point already where we're retiring MCU characters, in essence.
Yeah.
That's been around so long now, which is very interesting.
And then we're going
into... who's still... Thor's sticking around.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere.
Hemsworth's going to do those movies until...
I can't work out anymore. Put me in a shirt.
Yep.
I'm fine. Thor wears armor now.
Give me that QR code shirt.
Mm-hmm.
Tony Stark wears. But yeah, and then they're like exploring other cultures and it's becoming more diverse. And I really dig what they're doing. And, you know, there's a sentiment with, you know, morons on Reddit that it's directionless and everything's the same and blah, 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 blah. But as a Superman fan, where everybody just seems like, or it seems like everybody thinks Superman should be evil. And that's the only way they'll make a movie about him nowadays. Or the closest thing you get to Superman is a very CW, pretty badly written.
It's fine.
TV show. It's fine because you have to settle for it. But if that was a Captain America show, you'd be like, what is this?
Well, I don't know. The Captain America show was fine too. For real.
What?
The Falcon and Winter Soldier. It was the worst of the Marvel shows.
But it's 1,000 times better than Superman.
I don't think it's 1,000 times better.
It's orders of magnitude better.
Maybe twice.
Yeah. Anyway.
That's an order.
It's also good, like, there's a lot out there now that they have the Disney Plus shows, that you don't have to see everything.
You can pick and choose.
There's going to be stuff you don't like or stuff that you like more than other stuff, and that's okay. Like, it doesn't, like, it's not all the same, and that's the point now. Now you have these different things and to appeal to different audiences, and, you know, if you don't like Egyptian mythology, then Moon Knight's probably not for you. Like,
this wasn't for you.
Oh, no, it was still pretty good.
Yeah.
I'm not a huge fan of Egyptian mythology.
Well, yeah, but that's just an example.
The only issue I have, and we talked about it after Doctor Strange, is, you know, if you don't watch everything, Wanda's turn is a little bit in that movie.
Yeah.
Like, that's the only time I think they faltered in this sense for that, where you have to watch something else to understand the plot, really. They tell you, but
yeah, they could have made... WandaVision is probably the only one that really you're like, yeah, you should watch this one,
like
to get the full,
and spoilers, obviously, sorry if people who haven't watched it, but also the end of, like, the next time they do a Captain America movie, which they are, New World Order, which I hope it's not a placeholder title, because I can wear my NWO shirt again.
Don't turn your back on the Wolfpack.
But, like, so if you watch the new movie, you don't understand why Falcon is Captain America now. They'll let you know, like, oh, that makes sense. He's Captain America now because he got the shield in Endgame. You don't see, like, the full, like, oh, I don't want it, but then he gets it back. You know, that's okay. But, like,
yeah, that one, it ended where it started.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
It's also the same thing. If you've never seen Endgame and you go and watch Captain America 4,
well, see, that's different.
Then, you know,
the argument has been you have to watch every Marvel like MCU Disney Plus show and like this, and Star Wars has the same problem. Like, oh, I have to read the comics and the books to understand Rise of Skywalker or play Fortnite, you know? Like, that was a real argument. It still didn't make any sense. But I think they should leave it where, like, the movies are, you don't have to watch other things, but it can only enrich.
Yeah. Well, it's like the comics. I mean, it's, you know, you cannot start at comic number one of really,
it's expensive, if
most
you
anything, and then read all, and then get caught up and then read month to month. And there's also, like, right now I think there are like half a dozen X-Men books. Nobody reads them all.
There should be 10.
Yeah, there should be.
Thank you.
All right. Will, your
spin.
Last round.
Potpourri, and that's Disney potpourri, right?
Yeah, wild card is non-Disney potpourri.
I thought wild card was Disney potpourri.
Oh, crap, we need to decide.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Sorry. Nope, go ahead.
Yep. This is anything.
Disney potpourri.
This is basically anything on there that I want to talk about besides non-Disney.
Or anything not on there.
Well, it still has to be Disney related.
Oh, yeah.
Ish. So, we're coming up on the end, I guess we're coming up on the end of the first 12 months of the 50th anniversary celebration. And this is going to be an 18-month thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's...
It goes through the end of this year or into next year?
It goes into 2023, like April.
Yeah.
Right? If the math is right.
Yeah.
And then you're going to be in 2023, which is the 100th year anniversary of the Disney company, correct?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think they're going to do for the 100th anniversary to like just, I know obviously merchandise and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, but just right one celebration right on top of the other. I'm wondering what they're going to do. Like if there's going to be anything special, like they're going to announce things at D23, I think for this.
For yeah, the 100th. It's, they already have the branding for it. So
do they really?
Yeah.
I didn't like see that.
Disney 100 or something. And it's.
The last Disney 100 was weird when it was like Walt's 100th birthday or whatever. Yeah. It always creeps me out when we celebrate like birthdays of people that are not around anymore. Yeah. Like not the actual birthday, but keep counting. I'm like, that doesn't,
yeah,
that's not a thing. Yeah.
Remember this person on their birthday, but
that's lovely. What a stopped. Nice sentiment.
They're not 100.
It's his 100th birthday. No, it's not.
No, it's not.
No, no, but see what I mean? But this 100, I think it's interesting. You know, like, I assume there'll be some books, you know, like where he's on the train, you know, mm-hmm. in the 1923. I don't know. I didn't know they had already branded it, though, mm-hmm. so that's interesting. I'm assuming we're going to get another fireworks show for Magic Kingdom to go right on top of what we just got for the 50th.
I would guess they're going to roll back to Happily Ever After.
You think so?
Yeah. With all the uproar they got.
Where did this come from, by the way? Can I ask another like sidebar question? People now, all of a sudden... They complained about it while it was going on, but now Happily Ever After is the new Wishes.
Well, yeah, they did that with Wishes.
I know, but like Happily Ever After, like people are like nostalgic for it now. It was like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Can you have nostalgia for something that's like, you know?
And people didn't like it when it first started.
Yeah.
I didn't like it when it first started, but when I watched it again, I loved it.
And I still haven't seen the new one, Enchantment, right?
I think so.
Enchantment. Yeah. I still haven't seen that. I haven't seen the YouTube video, but like, I don't know. We need to get out of this vicious cycle where the one previous thing was the greatest thing and the company is horrible and stupid for changing it.
Well, good luck with that.
Although I will say the Illuminations people aren't quite as loud as they used to be because Harmonious is pretty great for like the one person at a time that keeps watching like, oh yeah, that is good.
Yeah.
I would like to see in person one day.
One day.
One day Michael, we'll get there. We'll see.
All right. Hot takes.
Oh, this is Michael's best attribute.
Yeah. Disney hot takes.
Disney hot takes.
Hot cakes. Your favorite pancake.
Ooh. I don't know if this is a hot take, but it's a hot take for me.
Okay.
I'm glad they got rid of that Tower of Terror sign that was on World Drive.
That is a hot take.
That's a hot take.
Wow. I didn't know that. Why? Yeah.
Every time we've driven by it, I'm like, why are they still advertising? It's right over there. It's right next to you. You can look at the actual tower. Like wow. It was cool when they were building it and when it, you know, the first few years. But they
changed it once when they were doing like the Tower of Terror 2 or whatever. And like,
yeah.
They added like, oh, it's now more drops or whatever.
Yeah. See, that makes sense. But
still, there.
They don't have signs for anything else like that on property. It just seems so out of place.
I think they peaked at that sign because that's the greatest sign that's ever been made for an attraction, I think. And they're just like, well, thanks for listening.
I don't know.
We're good.
The fact that they're advertising an attraction while you're in the resort just seemed weird to me. Like it.
Yeah, I guess it was to try to get people to go to Hollywood Studios.
Yeah, and that was such a different time, too. You know, like 94.
Yeah,
or whatever.
It makes sense then because they didn't have any, like,
you got to try it. They were building that to please come to Disney's MGM Studios.
People
please.
Want thrill rides.
Please come over here.
Yeah. Yeah, but, I'm going to miss it. I like that sign.
And maybe there are other signs for attractions that I'm not remembering.
I like that you had a... That's a good hot
take. That is a good hot
I don't disagree with it. I'm not glad they tore it down, but it served its purpose, and then it was just like, oh, well, this is still here. I get it.
Well, Michael's canceled.
I'm with you, Michael. You're good.
And we'll end on a parks like we began, right? I think.
Yeah.
Okay. Does anybody think that we'll ever get a fifth gate?
100% yes.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm starting to doubt it. I feel like if we were going to get it, it would have happened, and there's still plenty of room for expansion everywhere except for studios, maybe.
I think there's too much money on the table. It may be another like Disney MGM studio expansion where it's like a half a park or something.
Yeah.
And they'll expand it later. but there is way too much money. Like, you know, there was talks of a fifth gate before the 9/11 economic collapse, and then the 08 collapse was like 7 years after that. So, I mean, then you have the pandemic, you know? So, like, but now they're the most profitable they've ever been, and there's no signs of slowing down. I think it's just inevitable that they'll continue to build.
Yeah, and the fact that in the next 3 years, Epic Universe is going to open. And while I'll be surprised if they announce a park before or a fifth gate before Epic Universe opens, I don't think Disney's going to let Universal keep expanding without trying to keep up.
Yeah, because they just did Volcano Bay too, right?
Yeah. So, like, I don't think they count that as a park.
Is Disney going to put one right on top of I-4 too? Like, you know?
Like, I don't think Disney cares, like that they have to keep up, but I think they know, like, with the popularity of Universal, that the more parks Universal has, people are going to spend more time at Universal that they could have been spending at Disney.
Yeah. Once people start shifting to Universal more. Now, people are coming and they're paying the prices. So
now, if Epic Universe is an epic fail, which I don't think it will be, then maybe that won't happen. But
Mike's here tonight.
Everything is pointing to Epic Universe being, you know, a huge success. So that's my guess, is that that'll be the thing to finally get them to do it.
The rumors about Epic Universe don't excite me so far. Like Super Nintendo Land and like.
Another Harry Potter
and whatever the Harry Potter thing they're gonna do. I don't know.
Yeah, can we stop with these monsters? Like, who's this for?
I don't know. That may have just been a rumor too. All we really know is like the Super Nintendo, right? Yeah. Because they're almost done. They are done with it in Japan. And it's neat looking, but that doesn't. I'm not like ooh. Like when they did Harry Potter, I was like, cool. Nintendo. All right.
Yeah, I guess if you're into Nintendo.
But we'll see. Yeah, I mean, they haven't announced everything yet either.
One of the lands is rumored to be Lord of the Rings.
Okay.
Oh, that'd be cool.
And with, like, the new show, like, it's coming back into the pop culture.
Zeitgeist.
Yeah, so.
I mean, I'll try it eventually, but I think, you know, we've shown that Universal is one of those, like, for us, like, once every decade thing at best.
Yeah.
So far. I mean, even when they build, like, cool new Harry Potter stuff, it's like, I love Harry Potter.
But I got this annual pass.
I got this annual pass right over here. Yeah. And, you know, like, Pirates of the Caribbean ain't going to ride itself. You know what I mean?
Yep.
Now, if I lived in Orlando, I would have a pass for Disney and Universal. Just to mix it up.
You'd probably have, like, also, Busch Gardens, too.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, also you'd have cheap a roller enough. Coaster one.
I want to go.
The Universal thing, annual pass is not too expensive, like, comparatively.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't. I don't think.
Have a pass?
Yeah.
I think you would pick a year or two.
I think I would try it for a year and then, like, because, again, like, we've talked about it. I'm not as much into the rides as I used to be, you know?
Yeah.
I'm in for the ambiance and the shows. And I'm getting old. I'm on blood pressure medication, for God's sake.
Aren't we all?
No, I don't. Not everybody.
I'm on cholesterol medicine.
Yeah, me too. I'm on both.
Hooray! But we're young at heart, everybody.
We are.
Young at heart. According to my cardiologist, at least.
And that is it for Mickey's Magical Wheel of Disney Topics.
It's a little wordy.
Yeah, that was fun. Good thinking, Michael. That was a good...
This is all out of the brain of Michael.
Yep.
Happened in the shower.
If you took a shower this morning, let us know by writing us at info@tfppodcast.com.
I took one this afternoon.
Oh. You nasty. We are on the internet at tfppodcast.com. We're on Instagram, Reddit. @TFPPodcast and Twitter @TFP_podcast. Subscribe, rate, and review us on your favorite podcatcher. Check out our shirts at shop.tfppodcast.com and our exclusive Patreon only content. It's available to our Patreons who subscribe at patreon.com/TFPPodcast. That's all I've got. Anything else?
Hot takes.
This wheel will be back. As one of our regular shows.
Got it. I think I understood it.
It's your wheel, Marty. We gotta go back. Is that anything?
Not really.
Thanks for listening. We'll see you real soon.
The wheel of time turns.
The wheel in the sky keeps on burning.
Turning. It keeps on turning.
It burns, too.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, it does. It burns after a while, later in the song.
I don't think so.
I think so.
Our next one will be Robin Hood, and we're going to have a watch along on the Slack channel on Tuesday, August 9th at 7:30 p.m. Eastern time.
So that's before the show comes out.
Well, not to the Patreons, right?
Only the early Patreons, though.
Yeah. Okay, well.
Maybe we'll announce it to the Slack channel.
I'll put it on Twitter, too.
I'll put it on Twitter.
It was a pitcher, right?
Yeah. I'm not going to say now.
Greg Maddux?
Nope. But he's one of the greatest of all time.
Sid Bream?
Not a pitcher.
Chipper?
Not a pitcher.
I can picture him. It's not Tom Glavine?
Nope.
So Halloween arrives at the Magic Kingdom this week.
Oh, Smoltz. John Smoltz.
Sorry. That was all in real time. I hope Michael didn't edit out any of that.
All right. And that is it for the show, which was called
Oh, do you still want us to
Mickey's
do the thing?
Magic. What?
The Wheel of Topics. I thought it was a good idea.
Spin again, destinations, lose a turn, predictions, and that is the end of the wheel.
Was potpourri in there?
Oh, yeah. Lose a turn is not lose a turn. It's potpourri.
Got it.
No, wait.
I thought potpourri was a thing because I just keep in my head. I keep hearing.
Oh, that was the destinations one.
Okay.
Potpourri.
No, that's fine. I just couldn't remember.
Spin again.
Do you know how to spell potpourri? I don't think you wrote enough.
Potopi.
Sure.